Thank you for inviting me to this workshop. I'm going to talk about discrete time pricing and hedging of options under liquidity risk. So with the presence of liquidity costs, classical hedging and pricing argument is not suitable anymore. So we discuss how option prices should be changed or modified, and how hedging strategy should be modified under liquidity risk. Well, we propose the discrete time replication scheme, which is similar to delta hedging strategy in Black-Scholes model, in the Black-Scholes model. So I will explain model at the beginning. We consider multiplicative supply curve. Oops. And we use discrete time version of geometric Brownian motion for marginal price. And we will do some hedging error analysis in discrete time. So we consider discrete time hedging. And we consider hedging error over each revision interval, over small time interval. And we derive partial differential equation for the option price in order to provide discrete time hedging strategy, suitable discrete time hedging strategy. And we will show the variable hedging strategy actually replicates the payoff of option almost surely. Finally, I will show you some numerical example to illustrate our result. Background. In modern finance theory, there are simplified assumptions on the market. Market is frictionless and competitive. Frictionless means there is no transaction cost, no taxes, or no trading restrictions, such as Chaussee constraint. Market is competitive means traders take prices and pay, receive any amount over any unlimited quantities without price impact, so without changing security price. So many authors, people try to relax. Too loud. To relax this assumption, and then to get close to more realistic model. In this context, the notion of liquidity risk is introduced. Liquidity risk is an additional risk due to timing and size of a trade. For example, if a trader makes a buy order of size, say, 100,000 shares, the price will go up immediately. Or sell-initiated order will bring price down, right? So there are several approaches for liquidity risk. Some people consider market manipulation issues, then option pricing becomes trader dependent. Or people think microstructure, market microstructure, then option pricing of course becomes market structure dependent. So among these models, there is an Ugaros model which incorporates liquidity risk into arbitrage price theory. So we take that model and we model liquidity risk as in setting zero proto model. So in the filtered probability space with usual condition, we assume there exists supply curve. Stochastic supply curve represents the stock price per share at time t, the function of t, given omega, stochastic, and it depends on x. It's a function of trade size x. So in classical theory, for any order size, any trade size, the same price will be given to trader. So supply curve is level. But in here, trader faces supply curve depending on his order size. Positive x represents a buy, negative x represents a sale, x equals 0 corresponds to marginal trade. And we assume supply curve is non-decreasing in x. In other words, trade size becomes large, then market pricing impact is bigger. So the supply curve captures the impact of trade, different trade size. And here, supply curve depends on current trade size, not the historical past trades. Depends on trading strategy, current trading strategy. Trading strategy XT and YT. We denote by XT and YT. XT represents the trader's aggregate stock holding, the number of shares of stock held by the trader. YT represents trader's aggregate money market account position, the value of money market account. Then self-financing condition means there is no additional cash inflow and outflow. So Y sub T, the value of money market account is determined by shareholding. So YT plus XT times S, portfolio value, classical value, evaluated at marginal price, equals Y sub 0 plus X 0 times S, initial investment, plus accumulated trading gain due to price change. So the first line, that's usual self-financing condition. In here, we have second line, so some amount will be deducted. That's the liquidity cost. Some cost will be needed. Look at this. The first term, that's price impact from discrete change of shareholding. Second term comes from continuous change in shareholding. For the first term, for purchase, delta X will be positive, trade size positive. Then inside parentheses, the value of supply curve will be greater than marginal price, so positive. So the value will be positive. For sale, delta X will be negative. Then the value of supply curve will be less than marginal price. So again, minus minus, positive. If trading trend X is continuous everywhere, continuous in T, then there will be no jump term here. So no first term, only second term. But X is bounded variation, of bounded variation, then no quadratic variation term. So the first term, that will be the price impact cost, discrete change. Second term denotes the price impact cost, continuous change, but always non-negative and non-decreasing in T. As T goes by, liquidity cost accumulates. Our model. So S of T, the marginal price of the supply curve, we assume S of T follows geometric Brownian motion. So as usual, the ST is drift mu constant, volatility sigma, positive constant, W standard Brownian motion. And we consider multiplicative supply curve using a function, smooth and increasing function, f of 0 equals 1. Means at x equals 0, then same as marginal price, trade size 0. X is positive, then greater than 1. X is negative, less than 1. For example, we can take exponential function e to the alpha x, or linear function 1 plus alpha x with positive alpha. So that alpha, that kind of derivative at 0, it's kind of slope at 0. So alpha becomes large, then that's more sensitive. The liquidity risk is bigger. For large alpha, so we can use F as the slope derivative at zero can be used as parameter of liquidity risk in this model. We consider discrete time trade from zero to big T. T is the terminal time of contingent claim we are interested in. Terminal time, we divide into n equal pieces. And delta T, that's the size of revision period, length, revision period. Then we have discrete version of geometric Brownian motion. Delta S over S, mu delta T plus sigma Z, square root of delta T. This standard normal random variable. Then, because we are considering discrete time hedging, discrete time trading, liquidity cost up to time t, we don't need to think about quadratic variation terms. We have only the first term due to discrete changes in shareholding. So again, delta x trade size times cost per share. Difference between the value of supply curve and marginal price per share multiplied by trade size. That will be liquidity cost and sum up from zero to big T. Because we have T0 to Tn, yes, we can write down this way. Liquidity cost. Then what would be hedging error? At terminal time, what would be hedging error? From seller's perspective, seller's viewpoint, hedging error would be the value of replicating portfolio at terminal time t minus option value. Option value. And by rearranging it, we have this term that will be usual hedging error, portfolio value minus option value. Actually, the changes, usual hedging error without liquidity risk minus the accumulated liquidity cost. Accumulated liquidity cost. All right, so let's think about hedging strategy. What would be good hedging strategy? If there is perfect hedging strategy, then perfect hedging strategy will generate zero hedging error with probability 1. But under discrete time trading and under liquidity risk, liquidity costs, it is known that there is no perfect hedging strategy. So let's reduce the hedging error as much as possible. Okay, so we divide into n equal pieces. We divide into small intervals and think of a hedging error over each small interval. Over the small time interval, the change in the call option value over the revision period, that will be just two-dimensional Taylor expansion. First derivative times delta S, first T derivative delta T, and second derivative. But second T derivative comes with delta T squared, so that goes to error term. Cross derivative delta S times delta T also goes to high order term. So we have only three terms here. The change of the hedging strategy, the change of the position, the number of shares of stock, when we use delta hedging strategy, delta X will be the difference. Again, Taylor series expansion, we have delta S term, delta T term, delta S squared, all goes to higher order term. Liquidity cost. As we have seen before, trade size delta X times cost per share, the difference between supply curve and marginal price. We are using multiplicative supply curve, so f minus 1, f of x minus 1. Now we need some estimate. Delta x has this, delta x square, delta t term plus high order term. Delta x with power of k, k is greater than or equal to 3, all goes to higher order term. Now, liquidity cost becomes, see, fx minus 1, again, Taylor series expansion, we have this, but delta x times delta x squared, that's higher order term, will be contained in error term. So finally, we have only delta t term plus higher order term. Now, hedging error at each revision interval, the change in the portfolio value, change in option value, and liquidity cost by substitution, because we have delta C and liquidity cost, substitute it. Then we have this. That's hedging error over each revision interval. Look at this. Ct times delta t, second derivative delta s squared, delta s squared, so we are using discrete time version of geometric Brownian motion, so sigma square s squared, z squared, delta t. Again, we have delta t here, and we have delta t. So, combine with delta t. Then, we can get rid of delta t term in terms of expectation. We can get rid of delta t term. How? If C satisfies this partial differential equation, then when you take expectations, expected hedging error is very, very small. In terms of expectation, only big of delta t 3/2. How about total hedging error over entire interval? Each interval has expectation of order delta t 3/2. Sum up the number of intervals has 1 over delta t, so the order reduced by 1, so delta t 1/2, but that's enough. Delta t becomes 0, the revision period becomes short, expected hedging error over entire interval becomes 0. C denotes the solution of the partial differential equation we derived in hedging error analysis. With the terminal condition, then expected hedging error, when we use delta hedging strategy, over the entire period approaches 0 as delta t becomes short. So we don't have perfect hedging strategy, but at least using this strategy from partial differential equation, we expect the expected hedging error becomes 0. For the analysis, how about variance? Well, we can show the second moment is less than or equal to some bounded constant m delta t squared, so big O of delta t squared. Because actually we assumed smoothness condition on C. C is where the derivative of C is continuous and differentiable, so that is bounded big O of delta t squared. Now think of delta hi, that's hedging error over ti minus 1 to i, ti, t piece of I, delta ti over delta t. We consider that as a sequence of random variable, and then think of cumulative hedging error. With this condition, with this property, that cumulative hedging error has Martingale-like property, and using the sequence 1 of I squared, variance is bounded. Then we can use the law of large number for martingales. Partial sum divided by n, so take it average, converges to 0 almost surely. Almost surely, as delta t goes to 0. That's big. Almost surely. So the total hedging error approaches 0 almost surely as delta t tends to 0. That means the value of replicating portfolio converges to the payoff of option. Almost surely, converges almost surely at terminal time. The values of the discrete time delta hedging strategy, where C is the solution of our partial differential equation, converge almost surely to the payoff D option, including liquidity cost. So following that strategy, using our modified solution, following the strategy, we can replicate option almost surely. Discussion. Some of you are familiar with Leland's approach for transaction cost. Right? There is similarity between our approach and his approach. Our liquidity cost term is replaced by transaction cost term, but the difference is that he modified parameter of the option Black-Scholes price, so modified the sigma volatility. But that sigma contains 1 over square root of delta t. So delta t goes to 0, the modified volatility blows up. Here, instead, we derive the partial differential equation to provide delta hedging strategy. Now think of realistic values of the slope of supply curve. There is some study, relatively small, such as 0.005 to 0.0001. So in this case, for example, if a trader makes a buy order of 1,000 shares, then if the slope of supply curve is 0.0001, then the price will go up by 10% for $1,000 order by order. So it's very, very relatively small. I showed this argument for core option, but we can generalize for any general European contingent claim with different terminal conditions. In practice, when we proposed the partial differential equation, so in practice, we can solve it. You can find option price numerically. But from a mathematical point of view, it would be nice to have analytic solution, right? It would be nice. Because that is small, let's say alpha, the slope of supply curve is very small, we can find a solution like series solution. And then we put this solution to original partial differential equation, then we can get the equation for C0, equation for C1 recursively. So C0 is the actually solution to the Black-Scholes partial differential equation, original Black-Scholes equation. And C1, that satisfies this equation. But by change of variables, it's transformed to non-homogeneous heat equation. So as you know, we have analytic solution for C1. Because alpha is small, couple of terms will be enough to approximate solution. Well, that's possible analytic solution. Some numeric example. Table 1 shows option price, call option price with different initial stock price S sub 0 and different liquidity cost, the value of liquidity cost. It's a call option with strike price 100, maturity 1 year. As initial stock price increases, of course, option price increases. It's a call option. Liquidity cost increases. Option price has increased slightly. Because we need, hedging strategy costs more. Because liquidity cost, hedging strategy costs more, we need more money to hedge, replicate the option. So alpha has increased, then option prices has increased slightly. Table 2. That shows the accuracy of hedging strategy using our solution. With different liquidity costs, again, initial stock price 100, strike price 100, 1 year option. See, expected hedging, this is generated by the Monte Carlo simulation. Expected hedging error, you can see, very, very small. Expected hedging error, very small. So we propose modified delta hedging, well, similar to delta hedging strategy, modified hedging strategy. The expected hedging error over the entire interval becomes zero with more and more frequent revision. And even following that strategy, we can replicate the option almost surely. That's the end of my talk. Thank you. Initial value of replicate option price, yes, by solving the partial differential equation.
But how do you know the initial value of replicating strategy? How do you know that
it's that provide arbitrage free price, of course, upper price, because from seller's point of view, so upper price. Yes. I'm sure it's arbitrage free price. But you mean there might be with less initial cost and still replicate the option almost surely? Super replicate option. Not unique. With initial cost and using this strategy, we can replicate option. That's the point.
But you cannot replicate because it really depends on how many option counts of your written.
How many options?
One counter with 100 underlying shares. Then you have 100 counter. you have a lot of ships coming, stop, right? Not shield, stop. There are two different situations in this course, that's only case. Right? If you exercise 100 options, then you have to, how many shields in your hand? You have 100 times. 100 times 100.
I don't quite understand.
What challenge is basically saying, go to your previous slide. Don't go to one slide before.
One slide before.
Okay, this is the price of one option at a 50-cost change. Suppose I ask, what's the price of 100 options at a 50-cost change? It's not 100 times that.
I see. What do you mean?
Depends on the type of option, right? Either price up, going up, or price going down. So the option value can be price different.
So if we have 100 shares of option, then price could be different.
Yeah. Or the other way is to see one option is written on 100 shares, and the other is written on 1 million shares of the same stock.
It is really important because you show that if you use Black-Scholes, you make an error about 4 cents for $100. There's not much of an impact on the option price, right?
Not much impact on option price, but when you do this analysis, we have observed that if one follows the usual delta hedging using Black-Scholes price, he or she faced
an error.
Yeah, of course, a significant amount of loss, because not loss. So, of course, they need the more active price, right, to hedge options on the liquidity cost. I haven't thought about it. This works for European contingent claim.
It seems like you don't really have to change much to deal with the barrier for the
American.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Only with the barrier, there would be a small modification. You have to change the barrier.
Oh, I will think about it. Thank you.
Thank you. So you have that, right? So that will happen. Anything that's due to the fair payment.